You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I'll be quiet now. You know, as I thought about tonight's meditation, yesterday while I was talking to a man, he has to take a Tylenol every 3 hours to contain some pain, chronic pain that he has. Without saying anything, I ask him, would you like to stop drinking this? He said, I can't. I said, yes, you can. How? I want to introduce you to a physician. What's his name? Dr. J.C. J.C. Is he around here? I said, yep. How much does he charge? I said, free of charge. A doctor? I said, yeah, then he's not good. I said, he's the best doctor that you ever have. Then there was a pause. He said, oh, no, 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 no. You're talking about religion. I said, no, I'm not. I am not. Dr. Who? Dr. J.C. What J.C. stands for? Jesus Christ. You're not going to stop. I've crossed that bridge a long, long time ago. I said, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I want to pray for you right now for this pain to go away. He said, no, I don't want it. I insisted for the last time, said, please, if we're going to keep talking, drop it. Okay, have a happy pain. Let me tell you this, mister. How long have you been taking this? 3 months. I'll give you another 3 months and you won't have a stomach. Excuse me? Said, read the label. When you take a painkiller, it doesn't stop the pain. It digs a hole in your stomach so that your brain forgets about where you have the pain and concentrate on your stomach. Oh, it does not read the label. You know what? Let's drop it. And he wouldn't talk about it. Here is a man that is in desperation. Yet would not bow to the Spirit of God. And on my way back home, I stop and I start thinking, you know, how often perhaps have I felt similar to that man. And tonight, I would like to go over a few verses with you. What do I do when nothing seems to be going right? Have you ever had a day like that? Or I am the only one? What do you do when nothing seems to go right? I'm going to be using the New Living Translation today. And I'm going to start with Psalms 27, verse 14. On those moments when things doesn't seem to go right, instead of diving into a bottle of Tylenol, I want to give a shot at Jesus. For reason as this, Psalms 27:14. Wait patiently for Tylenol. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. If there's going to that things want to go right no matter what, at least right in our eyes. But in times of difficulty, when things doesn't seem to be going right, wait patiently for the Lord. And while you're waiting, don't give up. Correct. the Lord. Listen what how the Backslider translation put it. Sister Rhea? No, okay. Call Backslider translation. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. When nothing else seems to be going right with you, or when everything seems to go wrong, stay with God. Why? He knows what he's doing. He's got the whole world in his hand. Are we seeing that? He's in control of everything. So why quit? Stick with God. You will see it's a very, very nice payoff down the street when we decide to stick with God. In Psalms 62, verse 5, tells us that we not only should stay with God, but it actually encourages you and I in God. Let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in Him. You know, fellows, brothers and sisters, my old mother, God bless her heart, never learned the ABC, at least the local ABC. She would have tried to recite alphabet, gimel, dalet, and so on in Hebrew, but she didn't even know the whole Hebrew alphabet. She didn't know how to make an A or a B or a C. But she had some quite strong way of thinking. One of the things that one time she choked me in, you know, grabbed me by the shirt, said, "Quitting is not an option. You got that, boy?" And I'm kind of shaking on my boot. "Yes, mother." And you know what? That scared the life out of me. Quitting is not an option. When things seem to go down south, when things seem like it's falling apart, quitting is not an option. It says, let all that I am wait quietly before God. Why? Because our hope is in Him. Psalms 33:20 tells us something similar. Over here says that He is our hope, and here He says, we put our hope in the Lord. Why? He is our helper, our help, and our shield. You know, if we could figure that much, that when you can do things on your own, I would have tried Jesus. I mean, can you think about taking a Tylenol every 3 hours? This is insane. And then I ask, what is your problem anyway? He said, I don't want to talk about it. All right. I'm just trying to help. Thank you, but I don't want to talk about it. All right. Have a happy pain. Quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option. And we will put our hope in the Lord because He is our help. If nobody else can help us, God can. Did you know it pays to wait upon God? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It pays to put our trust in God. If nothing is going right, nothing seems to be right. Listen to this. But those, they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They walk. If everything in your life, everything around is going wrong, put your trust in God. The Backslider translation have it very interestingly. Watch this. But those who wait upon God
gets fresh strength.
Everything around you is going down south. Put your trust in God. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Say what? Habakkuk is a book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Some of you have never been on Habakkuk, huh? It's there. Read it with me. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, you know, many times you pray for some things and it just don't look like, my God, why don't I get an answer for my prayer? If it seems slow coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. Amen? Amen. Now, the backslider translation is a little crazy, but I still want to show you that. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Tell your neighbor, God is always on time. So what you're trying to say, preacher? Difficulties will come upon our lives. Hardship will come upon our lives. And many times things will happen to us that we don't want it to happen. And when I say this, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about hardship in life. Even the richest person on planet Earth has hard times on their lives. They say that the rich people are the ones who have more hard time. But in times of difficulty, when everything seems to go wrong, put your hope in God. Let's go to Hebrews 10:23. Did you see that? Let us hold tightly without wavering the hope we affirm. For God has entrusted to keep his promise. That's right. It may take long. It may look like it's never going to happen. But you know what? Quitting is not an option. Hold tight to your confession. Hold tight to the things that we believe, because God can be trusted to keep his promise. You know, men will fail you and I. But anytime that God promised something, you can be sure it will happen. It may take a little long, but it will happen. The backslider translation makes it interesting. Watch this. I love that way. Let us keep a firm grip. Are y'all listening to this? Let us keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Isn't that great? So when I smell a blessing on the air, grab it. You ain't going nowhere. It's just like Jake. When he saw the angel, Morning time is coming, about daybreak, and you want to go, he grabbed the end. You're not going anywhere until you bless me. What's your name? Why do you know my name? Which is wonderful. And he grabbed grab a hold of the angel, and he won't let the angel go. So the angel had actually to hit him, and the angel blessed him, and the angel left. You know, if it's not coming on the day, on the time that you think it would come, don't give up. Quitting is not an option. Let's keep a firm grip on these promises that keep us going. Because God is good for the money. He will always keep His word. And that goes for every single area. You know, 145, let's start with verse 15. God always keeps. Now, of all, look to you in hope. You give them. You see why you cannot quit? You see why you cannot lose hope? Brother, give him the backslider translation here. All eyes are on you. Expectant. You give them their meals on time. It may not be on my time, but on God's time it comes. The next verse is even better. I love the next verse. Watch this. 16. When you open your hand, we all look to Him, and when He opened His hand, we've got more than enough. Listen to this on the backslider translation. Generous to a fault, you lavish your favor on all your creatures. This is why I tell you that I'm blessed and highly favored. I could say lavishly favored. Because the book says that He lavish His favor. Isn't that right? On all creatures. This is why, beloved, quitting is not an option. Listen to Psalms 130, verse 5. Let's read. I am counting. Yes.
I have on Him. I have my hope in His word.
It may be a boring preaching for you tonight, trying to drive a point here. When things doesn't seem to go right, when all looks like it's going down south, quitting is not an option. I am on the Lord, not on people, not on I'm counting on Him. I have put my hope in
His word.
And you and I know, to Psalms 119:89, that His word stands firm in heaven forever. Quitting is not an option. You know what? I didn't check the backslider translation on this one. Can you give me that? I pray to God, my life, a prayer, and wait for what He'll say and do. It's good for me. Amen? A little bit further down. Let's go to Ephesians 5:5. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5:15. I'm sorry. So, be careful. How do we live?
Don't
Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be careful how you live. When I was reading that scripture, it is an astonishing call here. Be careful how you live. Why? It's very easy for you and I. It's very easy for us to give up, to quit, when things are not going quite like we wish it would go. You know, and many times I found myself once in this situation, complaining, or upset, or sad, or discouraged. He's warning us, be careful how you live. Don't live like a fool. Don't depend on yourself. Depend on God.
Pastor, when we pray for something and we're waiting patiently, do we pray once and then just pray and glorify God there? Do we continue to pray until we receive?
Well, depending on who you're asking, if you ask some preacher, they will tell you, pray until you receive. And they will say, that widow that was bothering that unsaved judge prayed until she received. My God is not an unsaved judge. That's the difference. Some other preacher like me will tell you, when I pray for something, once I'm done praying, I start thanking God. And then somebody said, that's not biblical. I could use the word of Jesus. When you pray, don't keep repeating yourself. Think that asking so many times, you're going to change God's heart. Now, there are times when we are making prayers that prayers are made out of the heart, like the Syrophoenician woman that we studied this morning. One shot was answered. But in today's life, many times we've been hit by something that went south and didn't go as we wanted it to go. We do that prayer because we see the problem in there, but it's still in here. It didn't reach down here. And for that reason, you know, maybe things have really to get drastic before people can realize, wait a minute, and then dive in head and toe into prayer. So answering your question, I think it will depend from people to people. I developed the habit, this is a personal habit, when I pray for something, I pray once. Why? Because I have no doubt it will come. I know it will come. And from that point on, I start thanking God. That's all. Some other people will pray several times until they see it coming. Are they different? Are they better or worse? It's not a matter of being better or worse. It's a difference in temperament. I believe, this is my personal belief, we're going to have this building here. It's going to be done by the end of the year. I'm not praying for the building to finish. I'm thanking God for what is happening. We are finding all this bump along the road. I can't afford to quit. It's not an option because God has been faithful to carry through His word until this day. We can count on His word. Now, some other people will keep on praying, Lord, please let us finish. God bless them.
What about the scripture God says knock? And I've heard somebody say that knocking means to continue.
Yeah. And I've heard somebody else say that knock is when you hit heaven so profoundly that it can be heard. Somebody can come and do this at the door here. Or somebody can come in. Now, people will say, well, this is a knock. And then somebody says, this is banging. You could say that. But when you go to listen to the Greek word, it is the idea of banging or hitting a door in such a way that will be heard in the inner chamber. That's the word knocking in there.
I can only use myself. When I'm in unbelief, when I'm in a situation where, helping me by vocalizing it. So I think it just depends on the situation. It depends on, at any given time, maybe some things I'm stronger in, oh yeah, I know that's going to happen. Other things maybe I'm weaker in. Those are the things that maybe I have to repeat to get it into my own skull.
Okay.
That scripture says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open unto you. That word shall in there gives you the confidence to know that you're going to get an answer.
Yeah. Now, getting on what you just said, I don't want to go. I'm trying to avoid to get in there because it's going to take me half an hour to put this whole thing in a nice way. There are degrees of intercession. There are degrees of search. Ask, seek, and knock. It's three different phases, and I don't want to get in there, not tonight. Another day. But there are degrees. When you're talking, we are talking here. If I turn off the mic, the person on the back can hear me. But if there was somebody outside on the parking lot by Brother Donald's car, the person may or may not hear me. I may have to go and seek for that person. When they start banging at the door here, it may be heard on the other side of the new building. You follow? Different levels of search, of seeking, of petition. And I'm going to drop it right here. But you know, it is very easy for us to give up, especially when in situations when we don't seem like seeing any hope ahead of us. There will be times that you will ask God for something and the answer will not come right away because you're not ready for it. And I could use the Bible to prove. There's going to be times that God is going to give us an opportunity to know what we will do, but because we are nagging God, and then we act together and we want to come back, God will still let us hold a little bit. That God has to us. The point here is not the length of time, rather, is the fact that some people, when they don't get what they want right away, they quit. And they get angry at God. And they get angry at everybody around. The point is, when everything seems to be going south, when everything doesn't work the way that you thought should work, quitting is not an option.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other thing that just occurred to me is sometimes God tests, it says he tests the hearts of the righteous. So sometimes the test, do we really believe it? And you know, we got to demonstrate that.
I want to take you to a very simple scripture right now. Let's go to Isaiah 25, verse 9. Isaiah 25, 9. It's not as some people would expect, but I want to show you something here. In that day, it's pointing to the future, right? The people will proclaim, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trust. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings. As I read the scripture here, I can see that sometimes we want something right away, right there and then, and it doesn't happen. But when God promises to do something to his people, it will happen. And we better be ready to acknowledge on the moment the things happen, this is our God. I am looking for the day that we're going to be standing inside that building and I'll be able to shout, this is our God who did it. I'm counting on this. Did you know that I have my sermon for inauguration already made? It's done. I got my sermon ready. I've got all planned out. You know, and I'm looking for that moment that I will have the joy to say, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he built up our church.
Yes, yes, Lord.
We have trusted him. So now let's have fun, or yes, let us rejoice,
yes,
in the salvation of our, yes, God. So what you're saying, preacher, quitting is not an option. Now go to the Message Bible. Watch this. Also at that time, people will say, look at what's happened. This is our God. We waited for him, and he showed up and saved us. This God, the one we waited for, let's celebrate, sing the joys of his salvation. So, wrapping up. Perhaps the reason that God has not granted you that blessing yet is because he is preparing you. Huh? He is preparing you for celebration time. The Lord told my wife right now, I think it was the last night vigil she had here 2 or 3 days ago. Jump into celebration mode. So we're going to start celebration. Wednesday night is the kickoff. Huh? Wednesday night is kickoff. Celebration. Celebrating what? The new building. And everything that God is going to do. Because now things are going to just jump. As I said, that piece of garbage thought he could stop us. Rankanol is coming on Wednesday. Let me tell you something that you don't know. There's some people that we rent tent from them every year. When Sid come, we rent from those people. Called, left several messages, never heard anything from nobody. So at Friday, it was so hectic on Friday that I end up not calling the people. So I got home in the evening, I said, did you call the tent people? No, I did not. So Saturday morning, I was here, first thing in the morning, checking the messages. Perhaps they called confirming that he would come for the tent. They didn't. So I called them again. It goes to the lousy machine, and they won't answer. Well, you know, I don't quit easy. I don't remember I quit ever, but yet. So I spent some time. I said, you know what? Chill out. Turn off everything, close the door, pull the windows down, I mean, whatever, the drapers down, all this thing, blind. And I went to pray. And then I asked the Lord, please show me. Where should I go? Within 1 minute, 60 seconds, my eyes were taken away from here, down the street where Liberty Ford is. You know Liberty Ford down the street here?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I was looking across Maryland Party Rentals. And I saw the number. So I wrote down the number right away. And I called. And I spoke to the owner. I told her what was going on and I needed a tent. She said, I've got it. I jumped on the car and went straight over the side. Listen to this. The tent that we would have rented from the people we always rent would have cost us $4,000. At least. When Sid comes, it's usually between $4,900 to $5,300. Everything. This one here will cost us $1,800 installed. They will come, install the tent, put light all around, and leave the chairs on the center. You know, it pays to wait upon the Lord. Plain and simple. So what you're saying, preacher? Quitting is not an option. We will rejoice. Huh? We will celebrate. And we will sing for joy. Because the order from heaven now is start the celebration mode. When my wife told me that, I'm thinking, okay. All right. I thought I was right on celebration, but apparently I'm not. So I asked for a scripture. I didn't ask her, I asked God. Okay. Confirmation, please. I need a scripture. When I turn my iPhone and I go to Bible.is, it opened up in Joshua. And Joshua commanded the priests to walk around Jericho. I like that. I like that. And I kept on reading. So the people and the priests were ahead of the people with the ark on their hands. And the people went around and they shouted one time. On the seventh day, they went around seven times. They shouted in a loud voice and the walls came trembling down. I said, thank you, sir. Celebration starts officially on Wednesday. Folks, God may have made you blessing so far. Learn to get into celebration mode. Singing for joy. Huh? It's our God, the one who we waited for, and he will show up and grant you the blessings that you are looking for. Amen? May I give you one more verse? Let's go to Romans 13 and 14, and I'm wrapping up. Now I am wrapping up. Even in paperwork. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Would you care to read it with me? Because we belong to the day, we must live decent life for all to see. Don't participate in darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, or in quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge in evil desires. Isn't that something? We're not going to allow ourselves to be complaining. We're not going to allow ourselves to be mad. We're not going to allow ourselves to indulge our flesh. Are we together here?
Amen.
We're going to put on.
Hallelujah.
Huh? We're going to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Harry, can you give me only verse 14? And I want to have that on the backslider translation. Let's read it. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ. And be up and about it. Praise God. Folks, quitting is not an option. We're going to wait patiently on the Lord. We're not going to be fighting, cussing, and sad, and discouraged. What happened? I've been praying for this miracle for so long, and the miracle don't come. Well, let's change the tune for a change. Let's change the tune. You know, there's somebody, I don't know this man. He is now sending us his tithe. He can't come here because it's far from his place. He's listening to us on the podcast, on the internet. And he said he's eager every Monday, or Tuesday rather. Say Tuesday afternoon, I turn my computer, go straight to the podcast. And I couldn't quite figure out. He said, I want to listen to the Sunday sermon. He said, he's been applying the principles that we are teaching you here. The whole backslider children are back in church. All of them. I mean, we're talking about grown-up folks here. He said the youngest son is 39. The oldest 51. The whole family is back in church and reconciled with Jesus. Not only the children and their spouses, and they're getting the kids in church right now. By just applying the principles that you are learning here tonight.
Amen.
Therefore, I am challenging you right now. If things may have not gone exactly like you wish it would go, and when it seems like you prayed so much and there is no answer, don't quit. Quitting is not an option. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. He can be trusted.
Amen.
To fulfill his word.
Yes,
and instead of grumbling and complaining, get out of bed. Get dressed. Lighter or late. Wait until the very last moment for things to happen. Dress yourselves in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Amen. And be up and about. And let God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, thank you for your word. You know, Father, as children, we always get in trouble. Sometimes we have tantrums when things doesn't quite come when we wanted it or the way we wanted it. But tonight we are making a choice, Lord. We are chosen to stick with you. We are chosen to stick with your word, knowing that you are good for the word, that you will always fulfill your promises. So right now, Lord, we are putting on Christ. We are dressing ourselves in Christ. And we're going to go about the business of the kingdom so that your name may be glorified in our lives. If we have complained, whined, and all that bad stuff, forgive us, Lord. You know, we are children, and children are always messed up. So forgive us, Lord. We want to make it right. So, Lord, accept our apologies. And renew, Lord, our faith on your promises again. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.